And so for those of you who aren't aware, I'll talk a little bit about the origins of insurance. And so many people perhaps on the call may not know the origins of insurance, but it started in Egypt about 6,000 BC. The ancient Egyptians were amazing at a lot of things. But one thing in particular, the farmers weren't particularly skilled at is shipping cargo. And so you would have these farmers that would grow these crops all year long, and then they would harvest their crops, and then they would take these crops and put them on a reed barge and sail them down the Nile. And generally, that would go okay. But then if a barge sank, then all the crops for the farmer were lost, and that was disastrous for them and for their outcome. And these Egyptians that invented so many amazing things decided they were going to form a mutual, these farmers. So, well, wait a minute. What if, say, 10 farmers put our crops on a single barge, then we could share in that risk. We could create a mutual, and then instead of one farmer's life and livelihood being completely destroyed, we could share in that loss and share in that pain. And so that was really the origins of insurance, and again, rooted in the maritime, which I found really fascinating. And then in the 17th century, in a coffee shop, a very famous coffee shop in London, underwriters formed a Lloyd's market. And that, again, was largely surrounding marine or maritime risks. And so you had these underwriters that are sitting in this coffee shop discussing the risks that they were writing. But they understood that though they had a very good knowledge of insurance, they didn't necessarily understand in depth all the different risks that they were underwriting. And so they realized very early that they needed to pull in experts, whether it was mariners or engineers at the time, who could help them understand what they were writing and whether or not it was a good risk or a bad risk. So again, even in the 1600s, it still had that tie. That insurance market was still very much tied to the marine and maritime industry. And of course, going to today, here's a picture of Lloyd's today. It's come a long way since that coffee shop. And if you look at the building, it's a beautiful building, although very controversial at the time, because it was designed in the style of an oil rig, an offshore oil rig. And so, again, all the way through today, you could see that tradition carrying through till today. And here's the interior of the building. This is inside Lloyd's. And if you were to happen to be in there in 1912 when the Titanic sank, they would have rung a huge bell, making the market aware of that big loss, that big claim that happened at that time. So that's a little bit of history on the insurance market, but that doesn't tell you much other than the fact that I touched on the Marine Warranty Surveyor's role in being an expert. So I'd like to use an illustrative example that most of us can relate to of what a Marine Warranty Surveyor actually is and how that relationship ties into that strong maritime history that I talked about at Lloyd's. Now, this is not a boat. This is a pickup and a nice pickup at that. But imagine you've got this pickup truck and you need some insurance. You need some insurance for that truck. And maybe you'll use a broker like auto insurance discounters. And you'll call them up and you'll say, I've got this nice truck. I need an insurance policy. And so that broker, auto insurance discounters as an example, might call a bunch of underwriters and shop policies for you. And maybe they wind up with, State Farm as an example. And that underwriter will say, hey, yeah, we'll write his policy and here's a really good deal for him. But we'll lower his premium if he gets a car alarm for that truck. Now, we'll give him a discount. So his premium will be slightly cheaper if he uses that car alarm because we as underwriters believe that our interests will be better protected because that's a nice truck. Somebody might try to steal it. And if there's a car alarm, then we'll be better protected. Now, the broker or auto insurance discounters might go back to that owner of that car and say, hey, great news. I have this great policy. The only kind of stipulation here is the underwriter wants you to buy a car alarm. And maybe the car owner says, great. Yeah, I really believe in car alarms. I'm going to buy a car alarm anyway. So that's no problem. Or maybe the car owner, maybe she says, car alarms don't work. It's going to be chirping every time there's a clap of thunder. It's not going to stop anybody from buying this or stealing this car from me. But all right, I will buy that car alarm out of my money so that I can save on my insurance premium. Well, that's basically the relationship. And in that case, we're the car alarm. We are the people that hopefully aren't chirping every time there's a clap of thunder. But we are out there trying to protect underwriters' interests. So the buyer of insurance will pay our fees, but we are largely protecting the underwriter's interest. But of course, there's a shared relationship there, right? The owner doesn't want their car getting stolen either.